And I'm having a technical issue of my own. It seems like things don't want to work the way they want to work today. Well, I'll go off the slides and we'll go from there. And let's pray. Daddy, I just praise you and I thank you for this day. And Lord, I just thank you that we can gather together in your name, Lord, that your Holy Spirit can indwell in us, Lord, that we can be with you wholly. And so, Lord, send your Holy Spirit now to speak to our hearts and speak to our minds. And Lord, just allow me to bring your message that you desire. And so, Lord, I just raise this up in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning, you're probably looking at the cover slide and going, what stops Jesus? Yeah, I think we're getting a bit of feedback from the monitors here. Maybe if I stand over here, it might be a little better. So, what is it that stops Jesus? And as I was praying through this message today, I mean, last week we covered about hell, right? It was kind of a fire and brimstone kind of message, a little out of the norm for some evangelical churches. But it was important for us to know that hell really does exist, that the people in hell really exist, that hell was never designed for us as people, but that people do end up there, and that they can see people in heaven, and that the people in hell actually have a heart to save those people they know from that eternity of torment. If you can go to the next slide, please. And so, I want to look at a couple of verses today. And I want us to think about what it is that stopped Jesus. So the first verse I want to look at, and if we look at all the healing verses, there's about 31 verses that are 31 instances where Jesus heals people. And we're going to cover a few. First, Matthew 8:2-3. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. And go to the next slide, please. Matthew 8:5-8. So here we are just a couple of verses later, same chapter. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him and asked him, Lord, he said, my servant lies home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. And later, a few verses later, we see, then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. I want us to think about this. If we look at all the verses, I'm not going to look at all, 31 instances of healing, because that's going to take us a little bit of time, and we're not studying theology in university here. But what I want to see is there's a common theme. Jesus was an incredibly busy man in his ministry. He was moving about. He was always going to and from. And he was developing a following. People wanted his attention, and crowds would follow him. But in every circumstance, Jesus stopped for the one. I'll hold up one finger. Jesus, amongst crowds of people, he preached to thousands and thousands of people. He preached to the masses. But when he saw somebody in need, he literally stopped and addressed them. Now, I think that's something Jesus would want us to do as well. I mean, Jesus is modeling in these very things, the things that we need to consider. I think in the church today, we're so busy wanting to get the nickels and noses, wanting to get crowds coming, wanting to have larger and larger churches. We see mega churches to that point. But the question is that what Jesus really wants us to focus on? Can you go to the next slide, please? So I want you to think about these two questions. Name at least three people who won the gold medal in any specific Olympic event. Pick any years you want. Knock yourself out. Name at least three winners of the Nobel Peace Prize in any category. Any years you want. How did everybody do? Everybody get 6 people? Anybody? Anybody get 3 people? What's my point? Go to the next slide, please. I'm going to make this a little easier. Name 3 people you enjoy spending time with. Name 3 people who have taught you something worthwhile. Name 3 friends who have helped you in a difficult time. See, it's not, I mean, those people who win Nobel Peace Prizes and who win in the Olympics, and they're in the top of their field. They're the best in the world at what they do. And yet we can't even remember who they are. Their names are published, but awards tarnish. It becomes part of history. History that many people don't read. And yet, I imagine every single one of us can think of one person or 3 people in some situations that have reached out to us, that have made an impact in our lives. I was thinking back to a time when I was writing this, I was having a conversation with a pastor and we were discussing Oprah, of all people. And he was marveling at how the millions and millions of people that follow her religiously and what she says and does, and how she brands things and her branding of things. And I was reflecting on a scripture, and maybe fast forward one. I think the scripture might be next, if my memory serves me right. So Matthew 18, 12 to 14. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier than the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. See, this is the heart we need to have. We don't have to have a gift of evangelism to reach out to millions of people. We don't have to be the next Billy Graham. Billy Graham's a great man. But you know, he impacted individual lives as well. He mentored individual people as well. And I think that's what we need to understand, that as believers in Christ, if we have a heart not to see people go to hell, we also have to have a heart to stop, to see what's going on around us, to understand that to God, that one is precious. Can you go to the next slide, please? So, there are some guidelines I've put in my life to help exercise my faith and to prevent me from overextending myself or making commitments that I know I can't keep. And there's a couple of things I want to share with you. And it's just, what would Jesus have you do? And the first one is, always be willing to stop. You know, I think every one of us at some point in our day is walking by people who are marginalized, who are forgotten, who are in need. We see people on the street. If you walk downtown at all, even in your workplace, you walk by people. Some of them are hurting. Some of them need something that you can provide. Some of them just need to just know that somebody acknowledges them. And that's going to be my next point. In fact, on that number one point, I want to ask you something. How many of you have ever been stuck on the side of the road with a flat tire or a car that's broken down? How many? How many of you feel a little resentful of all the cars that drive by you? Right? Anyway, and you start wondering, does anybody care that I'm on the side of the road? Right? And what happens when that one person pulls over and just rolls down the window and says, are you okay? I mean, you could have called CAA on your cell phone. You know eventually things are going to happen. But how do you feel when somebody actually stops and says, are you okay? Do you not feel a little uplifted? Do you not feel a little better? Maybe that doesn't even happen to you. I'm sorry if that doesn't happen to you. And it wouldn't be surprising if it did these days, unfortunately. But you know, if I see somebody down on the side of the road and it's safe for me to do so, I'll pull over, roll down my window, and just say, are you okay? And I'm amazed at the responses. So many people are like, oh yes, we're fine, but thanks for stopping. Right? It uplifts their day. And all I did was stop. I took 30 seconds to say something. next slide is people always need to be acknowledged. You know, there are so many people that live as wallflowers. They live in an invisible world. You go downtown and walk by people who are begging on the street. To them, you know, they are invisible to the rest of the world. People walk by them. People purposely turn their head away from them and ignore them. And all you have to do is say, good morning. Are you okay? It's so simple. It's so easy. Now, there are some that are going to say, you know, why? Maybe they're drug addicts. Maybe they're alcoholics. If I give them money, then that's going to enable them. Stopping and saying hello is not enabling anybody other than to make them feel better. To take that time. And if they are in need, then take 5 minutes and talk to them. Maybe go buy them a sandwich or buy them a coffee. You'll change their day and their outlook on life. That's the potential. That one person who is possibly lost to God can be received. Just because you took 5 minutes. You plant a seed. And the next point I want to make, you go to the next slide, AJ. Nope, back. There should be a, you're right, next one. Yeah, that's the one I want, thank you. The third one is, no one sits alone. You know, we see people sitting alone. Now, sometimes people want to sit alone. I'm one of them sometimes. Sometimes I just want to be alone, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But if we're somewhere and we see somebody sitting alone, having lunch alone, or sitting in church alone, we should go up to them and say, hey, can I sit with you? Or, hey, would you like to join us? Then at least you know. If they want to be alone, they'll say, it's okay. No, I'm fine on my own. Okay. That's fair. But when we leave somebody sitting alone, I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, there was a situation Twyla and I encountered several months ago. And we're probably both going to get a little emotional as we recall this, but we had a number of errands to run on a Saturday, and we were up early, and the girls were still sleeping, as teenagers do. And we decided we're hungry. We're going to go to Denny's first before we run our errands and treat ourselves to some breakfast. And we went in and got a table we ordered. And about 5 minutes later, this elderly man came in. And he could kind of barely walk. He was dropped off by a taxi. He could barely sit up straight. And Twyla noticed him and turned him in. She goes, you know, you should go over and check on him. And I did. Always listen to your wife, guys. Always. And so I went over and I checked on him. And, you know, he was half falling over. He could barely sit up straight. And I noticed that he had several hospital armbands on each arm. And I'm just like, and all he kept saying was, I have money. He thought I was there to escort him out of the restaurant or something. And I'm like, it's okay. I know you have money. It's all good. And I just asked him his name. And it's like, he can't even feed himself. So I started feeding him when his breakfast arrived. And then I asked, you know, can I sit with you? Have breakfast with you? And okay. And so I went and I got my breakfast and I came over and I sat with him. And I had to feed him his breakfast while I was eating mine. And you know, he told me his name. He told me that he had recently suffered a stroke. And then he said something that really kind of hit hard. He said, I just want to see my daughter and then I want to die. And this is a man, he looked like he was in his 80s. He was 64 years old. Now obviously alcohol was a factor in his life. So I took a picture of him and put it on Facebook and I said, hey Facebook, you know, can you help find this guy's daughter? I think she's in Edmonton. Or he seems to think she's in Edmonton. And then we had breakfast and then Twyla came and joined us and we realized that he needed an ambulance. He needed to go back to the hospital. And so we talked to him about that. We said, you know, we think this is what needs to happen. And he was okay with that. And we called the ambulance, and the ambulance came. And turns out both the EMTs know this guy. They see him every week. They pick him up on a very regular basis. And they took good care of him. And as he's going off to the hospital, I went up to the counter to pay our bills. I was going to pay his bill as well as mine, because I'd asked the manager to put his bill on mine. And all of the staff were there behind the counter, and they were red-eyed. They were just kind of weeping. And I went to the manager. I said, you know, I want to cover all the bills. And she goes, you don't have to. I'm like, what? And he goes, well, the people sitting behind you heard everything that was going on, and they paid your bills. And Twyla and I left there, and we got to our car, and we prayed, and we just, at that moment, we thought we just had breakfast with Jesus. Literally. Can you go to that scripture, AJ? I don't know if it's, nope, the one before that. That one, thank you. Matthew 25, 35 to 40. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes to clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. You know, brothers and sisters, I need to tell you something, and it's a frame of mind we need to be in, that when we see people in need, that's Jesus. Let me ask you something. If you're walking down the street and you see your favorite movie star, TV star, media crush, however you want to define it, if you see that person across the street, what are you most likely to do? Are you going to cross the street, talk to them, maybe get a selfie with them, boast about it on Facebook? If we read this scripture and believe this scripture to be true, that the Lord himself is saying this, why wouldn't we do that for the King of Kings? Brothers and sisters, I want to change your mindset this morning. That the least of those are no different than Jesus in need. That we need to have a heart for them. I love the way a good friend of mine, Linda Charmaine, put it. She runs the bridge on 20th. And she had come to Circle Drive, and she was asking for clothing donations. And I love what she said. She goes, you know what? Don't give me your crap. Don't give me the stuff that belongs in the garbage. Remember, you're clothing the king. And I love that. And that's a heart we need to engage in. Can you go to the next slide, AJ? It'll probably be the one after that, I think. Now here's the thing that we're dealing with in this world. The world today, the media today, wants to tell you what to think. What is proper, what is appropriate. The world, the gap between what the world expects to be right and what God considers right is ever widening. And this is important, Matthew 24:12. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. And I want you to look at that word most. He's talking about the world here, believers and non-believers. Okay? The word most means 51% or more. That means, look around the room. The person beside you, according to this scripture, may be cold. Brothers and sisters, we need to rage against this. This is something that should not be acceptable to us. This is something that we need to embrace, that love is what conquers. If you want to overcome hate, hate doesn't do that. Love does that. You want to show love? Start opening your eyes. You know, I'm looking at these people playing Pokemon Go. Now, on the plus side, people are getting exercise. We'll give them that. They're not sitting on their butts playing a game. They're actually getting up and going. But the problem is they're so stuck in their phone looking for something that's in front of them that they're not noticing what is in front of them and around them. Brothers and sisters, we need to take stock of the things that are going on around us. What people are around us. The things that are happening. And we need to be willing to just stop. Take 5 minutes out of our day. We're fortunate. We live in Saskatchewan, right? If we're 5 minutes late, nobody really gets upset about that. So we should be taking advantage of that. Can you go to the next slide, please? This is the biggest one. I was mentioning you, I was talking about another to another pastor about Oprah. I got a little ahead of myself. because we're talking about the mass media and how it can affect millions of people. And I prayed about that scripture, about the 99 and the 1. And then the Lord took me to this. We as individuals can have far more greater impact on a single person than Oprah can ever have to have on millions of people. I want you to think about that. If you engage with people, if there is somebody in your life, and right now I am suspecting the Holy Spirit is going to put somebody in mind for you that is in your life, that's in your path, that needs you to intercede, that needs you to talk to them, that needs you to mentor them, whatever. Okay? That is what I'm thinking of. Oprah can never have the impact on an individual that we can, because we're not alone in this. We have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knows every single one of us so intimately that you will not only be able to help that person, but you will be able to foresee what they need. You will be able to understand where they are. And you will be able to move with the Holy Spirit to impact their life. Oprah can't do that. Nobody can do that through media. Only we can through a personal relationship with Jesus and with others. Go to the next slide, please. Luke 15:7. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not repent. Brothers and sisters, this is the goal. We need to come to repentance, and we need to help others come to repentance. Last week we covered what's at stake. We know what hell looks like. We know the torment that's going to be there. We know it was designed for us, but it's just as bad. And we know others are heading there. If the previous verse I said were 51% or more are cold, where are those people going? That's a lot of people. And that should break our hearts as Christians. Brothers and sisters, today I want to encourage you. Now, all of you should have received an envelope this morning with you got a blank envelope and a blank card, right? Okay, so if you don't have one, just hold up your hand. Families can share, it's okay, but if not, if you want your own, we've got a few extras. So if you just hold up your hand, you'll get these. So on the envelope, I want you to write your name. Oh, I'm seeing a lot of unprepared people. Making the ushers work for it today. Okay, so write your name on the envelope. Okay. And when you're done that, I want you to take the card out of the envelope. And if you're a family sharing card, just make sure you leave room for your other family members. And we're going to pray right now. So join me. Daddy, I just thank you and I praise you. And Holy Spirit, right now, please reveal to us the name of the person who is in our path that needs us the most. For Lord, we know you desire that they not be lost, but that they be found. For Lord, we know that heaven rejoices when the lost are found. And so Lord, would you just reveal that name to us right now in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. On that card, I'd like you to write the name of the person that God is revealing to you. The person in your life that he has put in your path for you to share the gospel with, or even just care about, to even get to know them, spend time with them. See, a beautiful thing about the evangelism that we can do, it doesn't require us to take a Bible and thump them over the head, right? We can actually do it just by living our lives and caring about people and letting them ask us questions. When you're done writing the names on the card, I want you to put the card back in the envelope. And at the end of the service, there's a basket on the back table there by the media desk. I'd like you to put them in there, please. Don't worry, I'm not going to read them. But what I am going to do is about a month from now, I'm going to put them in your church mailbox. And I want that to be a prompt for you. If you haven't done so already to see that person, I want you to be reminded that that person was brought to you today, that you would have an opportunity. And if you have done it, then you can open up that envelope and go, yep, done. So let's pray again, and we'll close out this service. Daddy, again, I just praise you and thank you for this day. And Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your grace and for the mercy that you extend upon us, Lord. Lord, as we go forward today, Holy Spirit, just indwell in us. Just enable us to open our eyes. Lord, reveal to us the world around us in need. Reveal the people to us, Lord, that we need to help in any way, shape, or form. And Lord, I just praise you and thank you for how you're going to equip us and bless us for doing so. And so, Lord, I just raise this up to you, and I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.